Hello, 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 goddamn. This is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose. Welcome back to life. Welcome back to reality. I was supposed to record this. I'm sorry this is late. I was supposed to record this last weekend. Got some kind of bummer news on Friday. The whole United States got some bummer news, and it kind of killed my mood. And I only want to do things when my mood is good, and I'm in a great mood. So I'm here to recap. Listen, Bravo, I'll talk about it a little more at the end of the episode. I'm not feeling some of these things as much, but some of them, like Southern Charm, I am definitely excited to recap. I'm definitely very into Ultimate Girls Trip, and I'm not mad. I'm not mad at Beverly Hills right now. So we'll get there. We'll get to all of it. Just a couple of updates. I have not started putting content on my Patreon. I know. It's so annoying. Give me some grace and some time, and I got y'all. Then I do still have my Cash App. If you guys want to throw me some support, some money for this, I do this for free. Everything I do is for free. I edit, I do all of that. So if you feel bad for me now, I guess, give me some money through my Cash App. And I'll give you all my socials and everything at the end. And that's really all the life updates that I have for you guys that I can reveal at this moment. I do have some new things happening in my life that I'm very excited about, but I can't say publicly. So that is about it. Let's get started. So I want to start with Ultimate Girls Trip. I'm not going to go super in-depth, actually very in-depth at the fuck all, on the first three episodes of Ultimate Girls Trip, because it's a lot, and I really wanted to dedicate more time to Southern Charm and a little bit more time to Beverly Hills. So I just want to go over some like thoughts and feelings, and then after this, when it's week to week, then I may just do a full recap of each episode depending on what the content is. So if you've been listening, I have been saying for months that I cannot fucking wait for this show to come out, and boy, did it deliver. I am loving it. I think that these characters, these women are excellent choices. I think it definitely, this season has a different vibe than last season. Let me say this before I forget, because I didn't write this down. They really broke the fourth wall a lot in the first season of Ultimate Girls Trip, which I thought was really cool. It was kind of like deeply emotional though. Like, I don't know, like Cynthia was really weird on it and made things really weird from what I remember. And so the drama was kind of strange. I don't know. And that worked for that season. I think that what this season has going on is excellent. For those of you who don't know, I'm not a Brandy apologist, but I know what Brandy comes here to do, all right? As I sit on Twitter, if there's one thing Brandy Glanville is going to do, it's get off her fucking ass and go to work. And that's what she does, and that's what she did. That's what she's doing so far. She is stirring the pot. It's like a reflex to her. Like, she can't help it. Like, she can't help but just, like, make things worse, no matter what she does. And it provides for excellent entertainment, because, like, really, without Brandy kind of steering things on this show, what would you have? You'd probably have Vicky trying to steer things, and that's the last, but I don't need to have any more investment or sympathy for Vicky and her tragedy of a fucking existence. And then you'd probably have Dorinda being really wasted for no reason. And while we love her, and I really hope that she comes back to Roni if they can get that shit together. Like, I don't need to see more. Like, we don't need that so much. So I think that Brandy being the one kind of guiding it with the excellent fucking commentary from Mrs. Phaedra Parks and just everybody else, I think that it's really, really working. So I will say, first of all, the Berkshires, dear Jesus, Bluestone Manor is much nicer. You see so much more of the house, the mansion, on this show. And I really appreciate that because I kind of was always like, I don't know if it was lighting on Roni or like just the way that we only got like 12 square feet of the driveway to work with, but you really didn't get to see how really nice the property is. So I really enjoyed that. I really think that Eva, who I think a lot of us, myself included, weren't really sure how she was gonna contribute to the cast. I think that her energy, while it makes me, to be fair, all of these women make me deeply uncomfortable. Her energy is a little like, I don't know, I can't read her. I don't know where she's going with all the energy. And so I'm a little worried that she's gonna like explode soon. But I think that she's bringing like great commentary. She's doing good scene work with Taylor, who's not really bringing anything to the show. And I really like it. Now, I say Taylor's not bringing anything to the show. That's not true. I actually have been very much in support of Taylor. While a lot of people are like, Taylor Armstrong, Taylor really doesn't have to bring a whole lot to the show to me, because she has, I mean, one of the most, if not horrifying, iconic storylines, which gets brought up in these three episodes. I mean, she really had a rough go of it on camera and off. And she also has some other shit that, if you do a little digging, that is curious about her. So what we're seeing now is mostly her just being triggered and responding. I'm wondering, and I kind of feel this way about the show as a whole, no one's really prying into some of this shit. Like, we get, you know, the vaccine shit from Vicky. We're not talking about the show. Again, that's something that the first Ultimate Girls Trip really did. They talked about the show. They talked about the drama on the show. They kind of got into it. We saw Ramona and Luann kind of spur about the John or whatever of it all. So I think that, Tom. I think that we could use a little bit more on that. I think we're good on Brandy's whole fucking ordeal. We can take a break from Taylor. I'd like to kind of get in a little bit more into like the Vicky and Tamara of it all, because, you know, they say in one of these episodes, they all kind of blend together for me, so excuse me if I mix up which episode is which. But the Tamara and Vicky of it all, like, that's a whole thing. And no one's really bringing that up in front of them. And I guess they do. They touch on it. But I don't know. I feel like there's more going on there. Vicky's whole fucking thing with the cancer, and no one's bringing that up. No one's bringing up, like, the Tamara's fucking horrible relationship with her children situation going on, or the divorce that she had from her first husband. Was his name Simon, or is that her newest husband? Whatever. We're not getting into what Dorinda's whole fucking deal was with, sorry that my voice is doing this. I know this is very annoying, but this is how I'm processing. We're not getting into what Dorinda's thing was with Tinsley, which is allegedly a big piece of why she was asked to be on pause in the first place, right? We're not getting into that. And guys, we're not getting in to Phaedra's fucking thing. Like, we need to fucking work that shit out. We got to work through that, because I think that there's a lot of people out there like me who love Phaedra. I loved her on the show. I was devastated when she left the show. I know what Phaedra brings to the table. I think that a lot of us feel that way. A lot of us are loving her on the show, but we have to unpack the shit that happened between Portia and Candy, because we really never were given an opportunity to do that with her, with Phaedra speaking for herself. We kind of just got Candy and Portia's reaction and response to all of it. And while I don't think that Todd and Candy were out here drugging girls and taking them home, obviously, and I don't think that anyone should ever say that about someone on camera, I don't think that anyone should say that, which actually, I don't know if Phaedra said that on camera so much as she inferred it, Portia took it and then said it on camera. So that's another thing that's kind of like interesting. But there's some, I don't know. Let me not speak on it because I don't want to get sued. All of this is alleged, by the way. All of this, everything that I say in this episode, every single word is alleged. There's just allegedly some shit going on that maybe we find out Candy and Todd were adjacent to. Maybe there was some shit that they had nothing to do with personally, but they were adjacent to, and the rumor got cast onto them. And while no one should have repeated it in the fucking first place, it would give some sort of closure to the situation, because I think that that's what we really need. We also haven't gotten into Phaedra's terrifying relationship with Apollo, which maybe wasn't terrifying the whole time, but towards the end there, it got really dicey. And we haven't really gotten into that, so we really haven't delved into what it was like to be on the show experiencing these things, because these women, the reason that people were so pumped about this cast of women specifically is because of the fucking drama that happened to them while filming. I'll get Southern Charm later, Joe. So that, all of that being said, I think that it was a really entertaining first few episodes. Oh God, how can I say this without spoiling something? Not for Ultimate Girls Trip, but this is spoiler all day long. This is a recap. But Dorinda, so she has this clam bake at the end of the first episode. By the way, doesn't Vicky like vehemently fucking hate fish and seafood? Isn't that one of her shticks? I thought that Vicky's whole personality almost was developed for a few seasons of the show of hating seafood, and she doesn't say anything about it. She's like, oh, what's this? Well, well, I don't know about this, and da 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 da. I'm like, girl, don't you hate seafood? Didn't I have to sit through that stupid shit with you being so weird and like gross and prudish about seafood for seasons? But she didn't say anything about that. So anyway, that just bothered me in general, because like that was a part, that's part of her personality, I thought, unless she changed. So anyway, Dorinda does this really fucking weird thing where she feeds Phaedra lobster. And there's just, if anybody is a The Boys watcher, it's season 3 of The Boys, there's a seafood scene. Well, this isn't a spoiler, where Homelander like cracks open a lobster, and it's just very similar. The tension in the air was very akin. The crossover there is essentially Bluestone Manor is watching a season of The Boys. I'll say it. I'll say what everyone's thinking. So that was a point. That was a kind of interesting, fun little thing. Phaedra, they kind of get into later, they get into like bisexuality or whatever. Phaedra's so weird. Like, Phaedra, I'm sorry, she's dipped her foot in the lady pond, or her hand, or whatever you want to call it, Jesus. She's dipped them in the lady pond. And I thought that was common knowledge. So this, like, Southern Belle thing, which I love from her, but where she's, like, kind of talking like she's never had any kind of anything with another woman, it's like, girl, yes, you have. I don't know. It's, like, weird. That whole part of it was weird. The sexuality of it all is weird to me. They're all being weird, except for Vicky. I think Vicky's the only one who legitimately has never probably had sex with another woman. Probably just Vicky, because every one of these other bitches have definitely done so. Sorry, maybe it's alleged, but also who cares? Pride Month. I guess not anymore. Anyway, so then I'm not going to talk about the Vicky vaccine shit. That was supposed to be like a huge point of drama for the season. I don't care. I'm not rehashing this shit. I'm not arguing with a bitch who faked cancer. Like, I'm not doing it. Fuck you. So then I'll get briefly into the Brandy of it all. Brandy takes an opportunity at some point during the show to essentially say that the season where Taylor's husband was abusing her physically and then killed himself was the worst season of Brandy's life. I'm not defending Brandy. Want to go ahead and say I'm not defending Brandy. I think that Brandy was so fucked up that she was not able to actually have a conversation. So in her head, I think she's trying to say, like, this is genuinely how I felt when I watched it. I was like, I feel like she's trying to have her moment when she's also simultaneously having a moment with Taylor already. If she had just not said anything about Taylor and not said anything to Taylor about anything that any of the issues that they had, and Brandy went on a, you know, spiel about how bad her first season was, I think it would have been different. But I think that Brandy was unable to delineate between the conversation she was currently having with Taylor and then the conversation that she was trying to have aside from that. I don't know, but it was tone deaf for sure. And absolutely her talking about what a bad season it was for her. I don't know. Entertaining as hell, though. Entertaining as hell. Another notable moment. Very notable. Phaedra. When Dorinda is looking out the window in the first episode, giving a tour of the house, and she's going on and on about how the flowers are there for Richard and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She's talking about Richard and how he's always looking over. It's like something his birthday or anniversary of his passing or something like that. She's going on and on. And then we cut to Phaedra, who goes, "Who the hell is Richard?" And I just, this is the brilliance of Phaedra Parks right here, man. Like, this is it. Very, 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 very funny stuff. We see the lasagna cook-off, I believe, in the third episode between Dorinda and Brandy. That was a whole thing where Dorinda's totally fucking cheating and gaslighting the shit. The reality is, this is what they do to Brandy. Like, Brandy is a mess and doesn't know how to be an adult yet. But, like, also, they gaslight the shit out of Brandy at any opportunity. And scream at her and yell at her where they don't necessarily have that same energy for other people. So I think it's really funny that Dorinda completely cheated, through the whole lasagna thing and then, like, got pissed at Brandy for, I don't know, doing something, drinking and being a mess. So there's a lot that went on in that Ultimate Girls Trip first three episodes that I know I'm forgetting. Oh, well, my next and final and other main point is, I think that each one of these women is bringing something to the show. I think that each one of these women are bringing something to the show. We haven't been able to see all of what it is yet. The only person that I'm like, what the fuck, is Jill Zarin. And I'm gonna speak my truth. I didn't think Jill Zarin was that great of a housewife to begin with. I don't get the Jill hype. I don't fully, but I also came into, I didn't watch Roni until 2020. So I don't have, like, the history with Roni that I think a lot of people do that makes them attached to Jill. But the Jill Bethany thing wasn't, I mean, it was sad. Actually, I think that was probably a bit sadder than the Bethany Carroll thing. The Bethany Carroll thing to me was really fucking weird and pointless. But other than that, I don't think Jill's that fucking remarkable. And I don't know what she brings except, and another thing, I think that recreation of Scary Island entrance on Jill, I think that was planned. I think the whole thing, I mean, like, by everyone. I think that the women knew it was happening. I think that the women faked non-surprise. I just think that whole thing was set up, because, or else it was set up by the wrong end of people. I don't know. That was just really weird and unnecessary to me. We could have just had you from the beginning, Joe. So those are my main thoughts on Ultimate Girls Trip. I'm sorry if I'm skipping out on really important pieces, but like I said, it's three episodes. So once we get into this week by week, hopefully I'll be able to recap entirely. So yeah, I can't wait for the rest of the episodes. I'm very pleased with this. I think that they're doing a great job. Let's move on to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay. I really enjoyed this episode. And yes, it is largely because of Erica's antics. I think the season as a whole so far While I have been entertained by each episode, there's not been an episode like with like Real Housewives of Dubai, for example, where I've had to like rewatch it to understand what was happening, or where I'm like just fully disengaged. Like, I think the season overall is doing a decent job, so I'll give it that. I think, though, that the background noise and the stuff happening behind the scenes is an indicator of maybe the season not having a lot of substance. We are pretty much guaranteed a great reunion. If nothing else, we are guaranteed a really interesting reunion, I think. We haven't even gotten all of the cast members yet, so we haven't seen Cherie yet. We'll see her this week. We haven't seen Kathy yet. I think I saw this on Reddit and then I upvoted and commented, agreed. I actually also think we might not see Kathy, yo. Like, we might not see Kathy. I don't know. It's just a hunch that I have. Maybe things have gone so south that whatever they teased in the trailer, they're cutting that completely. I mean, this is going to be like a 25 episode season, so I could totally be off, but I don't know. I'm starting to get a vibe like maybe that was a misdirect. Maybe that was a totally not something we're actually going to get into. But overall, I am enjoying the season. I really enjoyed this episode, so let's go ahead and get into it. And so I'm going to focus largely on the boat, okay? Because this is where everything really went down, okay? So the ladies are, we start the night of the dinner. They were at some dinner. Who the fuck knows? Emily Rose. They were at dinner. We kind of pick off from there. Sutton and Erica seem to be mildly getting along, which I guess is good. Then they go to bed, wake up. We get a scene of Rinna singing to the birds and missing her mom, and that's all good and well. We get various scenes of everybody getting ready. And then we cut to the vans where people are getting ready to come load in the boat. And Erica, as she reminds us several times, is lit. I want to say this, and y'all know that usually I am one for a good conspiracy, especially when it comes to Erica's lioness. I think she was actually drunk. I don't think she was faking it. I really don't. I know it's not on brand for me, but I really don't think that she was faking it. I think Erica was actually drunk on this trip, just because her cadence of how she was speaking, the things that she was saying wasn't fully fleshed out. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I'm going to be honest. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this like unhinged look at her, because she already is unhinged. And we just got like pockets of that last season from anger, but like drunk unhinged, where it's just like a continuous loop of insanity. It's just, it was satisfying to me. So we get to the boat and they're having a great time. Everybody's having a... Oh, shit. Oh, God. All right. Sorry. I actually recorded the Beverly Hills segment a couple of days ago because I wanted to go ahead and get it over with, and then I lost the file. So I'm thinking that I've already talked about some of this when I haven't. Diana Jenkins. Fuck her. Really quickly. A brand new black content creator. She is a black woman who's a content creator, reposted something about how Diana looked different like 20 years ago than she does now, plastic surgery, whatever. Diana took offense to it and commented below about how that wasn't really, how she was too busy dealing with the world, the issues of the world, to worry about glam, and she should be ashamed of herself. Then the creator replied back and said, okay, but I didn't even make this post. Also, I'm not posting anything that several other much bigger accounts aren't already posting. So have the same energy that you have for me right now when you're talking to people that aren't black content creators. Basically, what she was saying was, it's super weird that like oh God, I don't know, Bravo by Betches, or, you know, somebody else, like a much bigger account, a Bravo Historian, someone like that, can post something similar or even create the post, because again, this content creator did not create it, the side by side. And of all the accounts in all the world, you end up on my page. I'm brand fucking new. I'm a Black woman. I don't have that many followers. I'm not following that many people. And this is the one that you choose to go off on. Like, it's weird. And Diana replies, it must not feel good to be a Black content creator or something. And I'm sorry I'm misquoting it, because it's been rehashed on so many podcasts by this point. I'm like, she's racist. That's all. That's all it is. She's racist. And there's nothing else to it. Like, it doesn't matter what country you're from, girl. You've lived here for long enough to know. You know what the discourse around Black people is. It's happening with one of your fucking cast members right now. You know what the fuck is going on. You cannot be on a reality show, okay? I'm sorry. And be that fucking out of touch. You can't be. Like, I'm sure race is brought up around you because it got brought up with Crystal and Sutton. You're at the table when they're talking about it. And you're engaging in the conversation at fucking flatly, though you may be. You know what the fuck you said. So don't talk to me. And then don't come back on the internet talking about Crystal called me yelling at me. Yeah, bitch, she was yelling at you. I don't care what anybody says. She said Crystal yelled at me on purpose to make us feel bad for you or some shit. And the way that you said it is like, oh, she shouldn't be yelling at me. She should be. Someone should be saying, what the fuck is this comment about? Absolutely, bitch. It's racist. And you were drunk or high or something. And you don't remember. Sorry. Allegedly, but fuck you. Come on. Fuck her. I'm over her. Sorry that you had a tough childhood. It's plenty of people in this world that have had tough childhoods that don't get a platform, that don't make millions and millions of dollars doing things that are still... Sorry, we don't know. And I've been on this kick since before the show started. I have been trying to say there are not blind items from 2006 about you that are popping up now. It's one of the most Sanella Diana Jenkins is one of the most popular blind item topics. Like, hello? It's like, she kind of tried to make it seem like now that she's on the show, things are coming out. No, girl, this shit's been out there, and then you won't address it. But it's just weird. I don't like it. It's bad vibes, and we don't need you. Okay, we don't need you on the show. So get the fuck out of here. You're racist. And I am vowing now, keep this same energy for Kathy if the same comes out to be true about her. Okay, now it's not going to be as easy because I did get endeared to Kathy, but I will keep the same energy. All right. Cause fuck Diana. Okay. That's all I have to say about her. Okay. All right. So back to the mess, the pretty mess. So Erica does this thing that this is another reason why I think that she's not faking it, because she goes and she sits down. She immediately goes to lay down as soon as she gets to a spot. I've been that person. I shout out my friend Julia, who doesn't listen to this podcast, but Julia knows I went to her house for 4th of July a couple years back before COVID and went over drunk, already drunk. They were having this big party. I immediately went in her bedroom, laid down, said, give me 10 minutes, and I was knocked out. Rest of the night. Couldn't tell you. So like, but I did rally at one point. I did rally, and I got up, and I slurred my way through, like, 15 minutes of conversation, went right back to laying down. It's exactly what Erica did. I have been there. I don't sympathize with her, but I get it. And that's why I think, now, this is a circumstance where we could say Erica's not that good of an actress. I don't think she could play drunk this well, okay? Unlike with because Erica has acted before. She's an actress. So we could say, we could measure her acting skills against this incident and say, her acting does not prove to be up to par with this. Whereas with Dorit, who's not an actress, you cannot say Dorit's not that good of an actress because she's not a fucking actress. So, like, and she's not doing a good job of conveying emotion, which is what actresses do. I'm sorry. That shit still gets to me. Like, when people are like, she's not that good of an actress. Dorit is not an actress. Dorit is a personality. She's not an actress. The rest of these bitches are actresses, sure. But not Dorit. What are we talking about? Anyway, super off topic. So I don't think EJ is that good of an actress. I think she was genuinely sloshed on this trip. And so, if you guys will indulge me, I am going to read to you all the entirety of her boat ordeal. I'm probably not going to cut between. We're not going back to Diana and her backstory. We're not doing any of that. Just know that in the time that I'm telling this story, Kyle tries to bring Erica a Coke to wake her up. Erica's passed out. Then she gets up and goes upstairs. They play her fucking song. They dance a little bit. Diana jumps off the boat, gets stung by a jellyfish. Erica goes back to lay down. And that's the gist of what's going on behind the scenes. Okay. All right. So she's laying down. I don't know if a producer asked her something or if she just starts, but here she goes.
Well, I used to have a boat. It was called the Illegal. It was very cool. It was, but they called it like a yacht, like a fisher. So we used to keep it at La Paz and fish. Okay, that's it. I'm done.
All right, cut to Diana doing her thing. Then
I'm on a boat. If I could live my life like this, cruising around the world, I would forever be on a sofa saying, could you serve me some chocolate chip cookies for breakfast? And for lunch, I would just like a salad. And for dinner, I would like a protein. Do we have food on this Gilligan's Island's 3-hour tour?
So we get that. Then Erica rallies, right? And she comes back up on the boat, like I said. She gets up. She asks Crystal a very funny question, in my opinion, about whether or not Crystal would want to have a threesome with her and Garcelle, and or a foursome, I guess, with her, Rob, Garcelle, and Erica. She's like, we pulled up in an Uber. And he's like, come on, bitch. Crystal was like, I don't know, what kind of Uber is it? And Erica says, it doesn't matter, bitch. The pussy's there. So she's doing that whole thing. Kyle's like, I'm bored. I'm going to play some music. They play Erica's It's Expensive to Be Me. Just a quick note again. They play this song. Kyle and Dorit jump onto the couch, right? Onto the sofa. And Kyle's doing her whole dancing thing. Dorit is trying her goddamned hardest to twerk. And it is appalling. And it sent me back to a place of the Drop It Challenge back in COVID, which was another example of her. I too cannot move the lower portion of my body. But it was wild to see this grown-ass woman just like jumping, knees bent, jumping back and forth to try and move her ass. It was really insane. So anyway, that's not the point. Then we cut to Sutton, who says the funniest thing. She goes, I cannot celebrate this song, to Garcelle, which is like, neither can I, honestly. Like, it was a fun song while it lasted. Now it's just loaded with baggage and I can't celebrate it. Okay? All right. So then this is when Diana literally jumps off and tries to swim to shore. She gets stung by a jellyfish. Everyone's like, oh my God, stung by a jellyfish. Erica's like, fuck this. She goes to lay down on the sofa and then she goes, Garcelle goes, yeah, go down and pee on that new girl. And Garcelle cracks up. She's like, I'm not going to pee on her. Erica goes, do you want me to pee on her? Some kind of fetish shit for me. Sutton goes, what? She goes, you heard me right. Nah, hell, bitch, whatever. And then Kyle, Sutton, and Garcelle come to join Erica, who's, again, laying down on a couch with a hat on her head. And they're kind of like tossing shit at her. She's like talking to herself, Erica. And they're like trying to count how long she can go without speaking and kind of throwing shit at her. Kind of juvenile, but very funny. And then Erica just kind of perks up and goes, I'm sorry that Diana got stung by a jellyfish. That wasn't my intention. And she sits back down. And then Rinna comes up and she's like, well, Sutton, do you think that she jumped off the boat to get away from you? They say that she was trying to swim to shore. Erica goes, well, she didn't fucking make it. Again, very funny because she didn't fucking make it. And then they're kind of going on and they kind of talk about like Rinna's mom. And then Rinna says, oh, I would have loved to meet your mom, Erica. And she goes, no, you wouldn't. My mother's a Virgo. We don't get along. To which Kyle Richards, the actress, the impersonator, Kyle goes,
my mom's a Virgo. We don't really get along. All we know is Virgos. I don't know Virgos.
I was like, oh my God. I screamed. I hit my arm on the table. I was crying. I thought it was so funny. Kyle's comedic timing. It's such a shame that she's only allowed in horrors and shitty Christmas movies because, damn it, she's funny. All right. So then she's like, we get back on Erica's mother and she's like, we don't get all cuddly and cozy. You know, we're still magnolias and we were brought up in the South. And I think Sutton may back me up on this. We don't fuck around. No, we're just agricultural people that didn't have a chance. It's cultural. We're from a farming state. Where it's like, agriculture was our thing. We didn't have textiles or something like that. So, if you didn't work, you didn't get paid. Sorry for you. And Kyle goes, shut the fuck up, Erica. Erica goes, shut up, Kyle. I'm going to put my hat on and I'm going to sleep. And that she does. And honestly, it was so fucking funny. Like, girl, textiles? What are you talking about? Like, it was just, I don't know the point that she was trying to make. I really thought that I would like sit down and like look up the textile history in Georgia. I live here, but like, it doesn't matter. She was wasted. She didn't know what the fuck she was talking about. She was also, Erica's childhood, from what I understand, was a right sight different than Sutton's childhood, okay? Like, Erica really was small town with no money. Sutton might have been small town, but they had money and they had all the money. And so it's a little different. So her whole like spiel, who cares what the fuck she was talking about? Okay. It was just so like old timey. It was very like Mae West, like just unnecessary, but hysterical. So then we get off the boat. Erica says she has 3 shots of espresso, and then she does this, like, photo shoot, and everyone's just kind of getting ready to reconvene for dinner. And honestly, I know I'm missing a major plot point, but that's really the end of the fucking episode for me. The episode was the boat. The boat between Erica's drunkenness and Kyle's mockery and the dancing and the asides and the backstory and the jellyfish and the this and the that. Like, that was the episode. I don't give a flying fuck about Denise Richards. Holy shit. Why are we still... I've already gone on this rant. I know I've gone on this rant on this podcast already. I don't want to keep it going. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse. Gross. I don't even like that saying. But I don't give a shit about Denise Richards. Why are we having this conversation? Why do we care if she's coming to fucking Garcelle's party? Why do we care? I don't care if Rinna and Denise are friends. It doesn't matter to me. Why does Garcelle care? Why are we talking about her? She's not on the show. She's not on the show and she's not important to the show anymore. This would be a much more interesting conversation if we were talking about Kim Richards, for example, or Lisa Vanderpump, for example. Like, there's just a whole host of people that are way more interesting to talk about that are former Beverly Hills cast members. Teddy, goddammit, would be a more interesting... At least Teddy... The thing is, Teddy's relevant. Teddy's, like, relevant to the show. Like, there... and I know that's a stretch, but I'm just saying, like, Denise really isn't relevant to the show anymore. She doesn't have shit to do with any of these women. She doesn't have shit to do with their drama. The only drama she has is whatever Garcelle and Rinna keep, like, bringing up. And Garcelle, I love you, but you don't have to do this. Like, you don't have to do this. Please. Please leave her out of it. I don't know, man. But, yeah, so that's pretty much it for Beverly Hills. Man, like I said, we're just going to have to see. I'm giving it until episode 10. I think at episode 10, I will be able to make a serious call before the mid-season about whether the show is going to be entertaining or not. Because right now, I'm still kind of on the fence, even though I really did enjoy this last episode. Okay, we're going to move on to what I'm going to be real with you guys. Southern Charm is my favorite show that's on air right now. I'm just going to say it. It's my favorite. I know we've only gotten the premiere episode so far, but it's setting up. Well, for one, we've had a proper break from it, right? So we've had about a year and a half away from it. And even though we've gotten bits and pieces of it from Summer House and Winter House, it's just not the same as having these people in their natural habitats and bringing all of these disjointed pieces together. Naomi coming back, I think, is an excellent choice because, I mean, last season of Southern Charm was a flop. It was trying to make a comment on the Black Lives Matter movement. And in my opinion, while I think that the work that Vanita and Leva did to bring awareness to the program was really, really important and done well on their part, I don't think that Southern Charm took enough time to address the topic in a way that was, I don't know, appropriate to the severity of what was going on. That's just my opinion on last season, though I do think that Vanita and Leva did a great job at what they were being asked to do, which was tackle fucking Catherine and the whole cast, like, racist past. So, that being said, it was wonderful to finally step back into this world of Charleston. About a year ago, I would say maybe a year ago this week, actually, I was in Charleston. I went to Isle of Palms and visited Charleston for the first time for a week. It is probably one of my favorite trips that I've ever gone on. I went to Sewing Down South. I passed by, I know where, I saw Shep's house. It's very easy to spot because it's an odd looking house, isn't it? No offense, Shep, but I mean, it's weird. And on Isle of Palms, which is a beautiful island with lavish homes. I mean, that's where the girls went for Real Housewives of Atlanta for their COVID girls trip. So you saw that house. I mean, it's magnificent. And then you got Shep's little cottage. So it's easy to spot. There's a lot of other things that I saw that were Southern Charm oriented. Saw Patricia Chule's house. I don't know. Southern Charm, I was into Southern Charm before I was into Vanderpump Rules. So it was like Real Housewives of Atlanta, Beverly Hills, and Southern Charm were the things that I was the most familiar with on Bravo. So Southern Charm just has a really special place in my heart, and Charleston is a fucking blast. Maybe it's just for tourists, it's a blast, but I had a great time. Now, is the city steeped in racism and slavery? 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. So that's important to know going in, right? You don't want to be blindsided by that, but I also think that it was still, I still had an enjoyable time. The people there I found really charming, huh? I found the city itself to be really charming. It was hot as Jesus, everything, but it was really nice. So just watching the show again and getting to kind of travel back to Charleston like I did a year ago was wonderful because I was a right sight better a year ago than I am today. I'm telling you that right now. So let's just get into it. So we open with Craig at Sewing Down South speaking through the window on the outside of his store, directing his employees on where to put, I don't know, pillows or squares or something like that. I watched it 3 times. I still didn't figure out exactly what he was getting them to do, but he was like, that square goes there, that square goes there. I'm like, all right. Then we move on to Shep, who is in bed with his dog, Craig. Again, he did get a dog and name it Craig, which was really fucked up. But that's Shep for you. Then we get Leva, who is working and also playing with her kids, which I thought was really sweet. We're going to get a Leva spinoff. If, for those of you who aren't familiar, Leva owns, I think, three or four restaurants or runs three or four restaurants in downtown Charleston. I'm not sure if she does anything in Mount Pleasant or in neighboring areas, but for sure in downtown Charleston. So that's going to be like, it's giving LVP, and I'm very, very interested in it. Then you got Austin. We pan over to Austin, who is doing some indoor gardening, spraying of plants and such. We move on to Catherine and her boyfriend, Caleb, who are, they are ... cohabitating, because that they are. They are cohabitating. They are living together. If you guys don't know Caleb's backstory, the convenient timing of this relationship was when Catherine was under a lot of pressure and a lot of hot water for her racist remarks that she made in DMs, her monkey emoji scandal, just the history of her family being Confederate icons, I guess, or something silly like that. Caleb's last name is Ravenel with one L. Either his is with one L and Thomas's is with two, or Thomas's is with one and his is with two. I'm sorry, I didn't look it up, but there's just something kind of weird there. There's something there. I don't want to get into it as a white woman. It's not really my place to speak on it, but it is really fucking weird that how things work in Charleston, I guess, is a better way to say. Like, he's not weird. He's great. He's actually great, great. But I don't know. There's something about the whole thing that I think Catherine, it's not natural. It doesn't seem to be natural to Catherine. That's all I'll say there. We end all the introductions on Vanita going to pick up Naomi from Naomi's home, which I've also seen in this fucking stunning home. It is a gorgeous home. And they are off to go play some tennis. Now, that's where we're at with everybody. That's the introductions that we get to everyone. I just want to go on record before we start and say this. Oh, sorry. There's some yard work being done just outside my window when I'm just trying to record this damn episode. So for those of you who are watching Southern Charm, maybe for the first time because of Summer House and Winter House, right? This may be your first look at Austin and Craig in their own world. And not through the eyes. We're not looking at Craig through the eyes of Paige. We're not looking at Austin through the eyes of Sierra. We are, or the rest of the house. We gotta bring it back to home, okay? I hear everyone on the Austin ain't shit train, okay? But two things I need to say about that, because I didn't really recap Summer House, so I want to say this here. First of all, you guys are giving Austin a lot of fucking credit. And I think that the more that we hype him as being the ultimate fuckboy, the more we're overlooking other things in the Bravo universe. Because, like, ultimately, Austin's just playing these women, right? And that's not cool. And maybe you're not attracted to him. Maybe you don't get it. That's all reasonable. Reasonable to feel about Austin. Lest we forget how Shep and Craig actually are as humans as well. This is not an Austin is the fuckboy and Shep and Craig are and Pringle and fucking Ravenel and all of these other men on this show. I want to say they're worse than Jax. Maybe that's probably pushing it quite a bit. But all of these men are fucking terrible. All right. Or they were. And I don't want to go into recapping this episode or this series. If the rest of the episodes continue to be this good, I don't have time. I don't have time or energy to put into Austin. All right. He ain't worth my time and he's not worth my energy to sit here and talk about how fucking terrible he is. He's not worse than the other two. I'm sorry. And that's just it. Guys, I went with one of my best friends, Elizabeth. Shout out, Elizabeth. We went to the Pillows and Beer podcast tour. That's Austin and Craig's podcast. We went to their show in Atlanta. These guys are just still miserable. Okay. That's aside from the fact that the three of them really fucking hate each other deeply. But just like in general, Craig is still a jackass. Okay. And there is some merit to Shep saying, which I know is like pot, kettle, hello, but there's merit to saying that Craig has let fame get to his head because he really needs to take it down a notch. Austin's the same way, but so is Shep. These guys all let fame get to their fucking heads and we're out here roaming the streets of like New Orleans or something, screaming at homeless women, Shep, talking about nice cans. It was a woman who didn't have a home. Excuse me. An unhomed woman who was collecting cans and he was like, nice cans out the window. Austin's just like known for being a fuckboy in Charleston. So this is nothing new to anybody else. And then you got Craig who's constantly berating people. The way that he talked to Madison and about Madison on last season was trash. Like, so what I'm saying here, this rant may not make sense to anybody. My point is, I know a lot of people may be expecting me to really rail into Austin or really, you know, focus on Austin, but I don't give a fuck about Austin and Craig as perceived through Winter and Summer House. We're back to basics here, and the basics are that all three of them are a fucking shit show, all right? That's why this show is brilliant. There is nobody to root for. Very much like the boys, there is nobody to root for. It's all just trash. That's why we love it. So let's get started. So we get reintroduced to Naomi. She and Vanita, apparently, which I didn't know this, she and Vanita actually went to high school together, which I think is interesting. I'm wondering if Naomi got Vanita on the show and then Naomi chose to leave the show. She moved to New York with her then boyfriend Matul, who 10 days after moving to New York for him, she found out that he cheated on her. So she had to kind of, you know, move back to, it's very Stassi and Patrick, even though I guess Stassi and Patrick lasted for a few months when she moved to New York and left the show and said she was basically better than all of it and then had to come with her tail between her legs like James Kennedy. You were crawling on your legs, Lisa, please. It's like that kind of vibes. But Naomi is a better person than Stassi, I think, as far as we know now. So Naomi and Vanita are in the car going to tennis, talking about their high school days. Naomi says that she was a cool girl. They show her senior picture. That's evident. She was a mean bitch. Sorry. You can tell from the picture. I hate to be this way, but you can tell from the picture she was a mean bitch. Then you got Vanita, who's like, I was a loser in high school. So she was kind of like the alternative girl. She wasn't wearing Vineyard Vines, which I thought was such a, oh God, what a great specific fucking thing to say. And she was like, I was into fashion and now I'm a fashion model, so what, bitch? And Naomi's like, yeah, I peaked in high school. So it's good to see that Naomi has a little bit of a sense of humor about herself, as does Vanita. So they're kind of talking, and then Leva calls Naomi while they're in the car and is very Garcelle vibes, very much stirring the pot, getting shit started. She's like, so have you talked to Craig, you know, since Vegas? And Naomi's like, yeah, basically come to find out through Naomi's confessional that she and Craig met up in Vegas and did hook up in Vegas, I guess, around the July timeframe. Also, this was filmed, so they wrapped filming for Southern Charm this season in December, late November, I believe. So I know it was definitely, it might have been early December or late November, but it was in that time period. So they're filming starting in like July, August, maybe September. It's probably more like September, which means that Craig and Austin are fresh out of Summer House. So we'll get to it. Whatever. It doesn't matter. So anyway, Naomi and Craig fucked, right? So, and this apparently is fine with Paige, but actually we don't hear that out of her mouth at any point. So, okay. Anyway, So Craig, still a scammer, we flash over to Craig, speaking of which, and he's on FaceTime with Paige talking about how he's, you know, the asbestos in his house is finally free, so he's finally moved back into his own home, and Sewing Down South is doing so well, and so he's renovating his house. What really got me is that he's showing Paige everything, and she's like, oh my God, Craig, did you finish that floor all by yourself? And he's like, yeah, I finished it all by myself. And he the camera pans out, and like, whether or not Craig actually put the floor down is beyond me, but the floor isn't finished. And to me, that's just like, that's Craig, right? Like, yes, Paige asked, did you put the whole floor down all by yourself? Craig says, yes, I did. And he shows her a part of the floor that is put down, but the floor is not fully finished. This is the most, it's just the most Craig shit. Like, yeah, maybe he did put it down by himself, but it wasn't the whole floor because the floor isn't finished, because Craig is an omitter. He likes to omit things. That's how he lies. So I feel like we're going to get a lot of like time fudging here, and we're going to get a lot of blurring details on purpose. That's why Craig's a lawyer, yo. Now, finally, after he lied about it for several years. All right. So then we catch up with Shep and Austin, who are getting a beer at a brewery, and they ask for Trop Hop. I can confirm that several, or at least last summer, several of the restaurants carried Trop Hop on draft. However, getting it in the cans was a fucking nightmare. I think we had to go to a like mega bottle shop in Mount Pleasant to get a six pack of this Trop Hop. But most of the bars in Charleston, and maybe one or two on Olive Palms, but definitely in Charleston, did have them on draft. So that's something, I suppose. But I wanted the can. Shit, I can't spend all my time and money in bars. Anyway, so they're talking, and then we were catching up with Austin. Austin says that he's been celibate for a month. Very classic fuckboy talk. My ex used to do this all the time. He used to be like, no, I'm celibate. Like, I'm just over women. I'm celibate now. Which really meant, depending on who he was talking to, he's either diverting attention away from who he's actually sleeping with. Well, yeah, doesn't matter who he's talking to. He's diverting attention away from the mess that is his romantic life. And that's what Austin's doing. And then he's like, but I like Olivia. And so then we get some background on Olivia. We don't fully go into her backstory here, but I'll go ahead and say Olivia, new cast member. She moved here from Los Angeles. She's from here. She moved to Los Angeles, moved back for the pandemic, and she's living with her parents, who are a gem, if I may say so myself. I find them to be very, very, very funny. Don't really have a read on Olivia yet, but Austin, I guess, likes her. I don't think Austin actually likes her. I don't think that they're actually dating. I think that this is just, you know, classic Bravo setup for introducing a new cast member. They're either besties or they're dating, and I don't think, we find out by the end of the episode, that's not really a thing, so. Then Shep and Austin start talking a lot of shit about Craig, and especially Shep. Shep is, again, pot calling kettle black, talking about how fame has really changed Craig, and he thinks he's better than them, and it does, a lot of discourse around the subject has said that it's a lot to do with Shep being jealous and Austin being jealous of Craig. And I definitely think that there's jealousy there. But I also think there's some merit to Craig maybe acting better than them. Now, we do know that Craig says that he has kicked his Adderall habit, which is good. That doesn't mean that he stopped, that he's sober now. Let's be very clear on that. But maybe some things that Austin and Shep are still kind of into, maybe Craig's not into anymore. It makes it hard to party with them. Maybe that's what that's about. But also, I think Craig probably is feeling himself a little bit too much. And Shep probably is jealous, and Austin's definitely jealous, but also Austin has a beer, and again, it seems quasi-successful in Charleston, so they're all quasi-successful in Charleston. So I think that they're all kind of feeling themselves a little more than when you put them in, say, the Hamptons. So, yeah, so Shep's just talking about how fame changed Craig and yada, yada, yada. So then we move on to this scene, very forced scene, of Catherine and Caleb playing basketball. Like, Catherine doesn't play basketball, guys. She doesn't do that. She's not sporty. She's not athletic. You can tell. She's not into it. It's just a very forced... Everything about their relationship just makes me really uncomfortable. So I don't want to hang too much on it. I will say that they moved in together, into a home together, after 6 months of dating. And if anything's a bad idea, it's that. Like, do not do that, guys. Don't move in with someone. Unless maybe if you're like in your 40s, 50s, and you've like been divorced, you've like been through the whole thing, then sure. But Catherine's very much still, as she says in her early 20s mentally. So she shouldn't be moving in with anyone. She should be really focusing on herself, in my humble opinion. Plus, I don't know of couples that straight up got a house and moved in together under 40 that stayed together. And look, here I am being proven right once again. So they go on and on about their relationship. Catherine, let's just talk about it. Let's just get it out of the way. She looks crazy. She looks crazy. The hair is not working. And it's not necessarily just the hair, though, because I've seen Catherine blonde and thought that she looked cute blonde. I think it's the hair and the brows combo. The strong brow on her skin with the bright blonde hair, I just don't think is the move. She has since gone back to a more reddish auburn hair, as seen on her Instagram, which I'll talk about later. And I think that it just complements her face much better. It really does. And it could just be camera. Like, it could just be the way that the camera and the lighting is on this particular face. Because actually, when I was going back through her Instagram, when this was her whole look, it photographs well. Maybe it just doesn't film very well. I don't know. But it was stressing me out because it made her look a lot more intense than maybe she was trying to look. And I'm just going to be honest. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not calling her ugly. She's not. She's actually gorgeous. I just don't think that the whole combo was working for her, particularly in her confessional. So then she starts talking about how she is going to throw a 30s birthday party called the Great Gatsby Party, because it's a play on Great Gatsby, like every basic bitch in the fucking world. Like, we gotta move on. I'm wondering if like Bravo only has licenses for like Gatsby parties, sound baths, and psychics. And that's like all we can do. We used to do the burlesque thing, and I'm glad that's gone because that was never properly executed either. But like, is that all the people on Bravo are allowed to do? Gatsby parties, sound baths, and psychics? I don't know. Weird. It's a weird agenda they've got going on over there. So anyway, she's just talking about it and how she's going to throw it and blah, blah, blah. We get the gist and we move on because she's turning 30 and good for her. This is when she talks about how she still feels like she's in her 20s. And I'm like, I bet you do, girl. You got into a really traumatic situation when you were 21 and endured years of trauma. And now you're just now coming out of that, which is, again, why I don't think that you should be moving in with someone that you don't really know. But okay. We move on to a scene that I actually did not think we were going to get. Completely forgot about Whitney. Whitney and Pat. Whitney and Miss Patricia. We get to her house. Whitney's cleaning up after the dogs because, as we learn, Michael, her butler's, unfortunately had a spinal stroke, which rendered him paralyzed from the waist down, essentially. He can't walk. So Whitney's having to take care of things around the house. This man, no, I'm not shitting you, is cleaning up dog shit off the floor and uses flavored vodka to clean it up. And like, Whitney knows how to play the cameras. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is Whitney's thing. This is Whitney's show. For those of you who are, again, new to Southern Charm, this is Whitney. Whitney pitched this show. Actually, Whitney pitched a show, if I'm not mistaken, called Southern Gentleman. And it was basically centered around Thomas Ravenel. And then it turned into Southern Charm. So this is Whitney's whole thing. And so as much as I want to think that he's playing to the cameras with this, like, flavored vodka thing, I actually just think this is, like, Whitney's nature. He's just like, oh, shit, yeah, this will clean it up. This is disinfected. So we see that. Him and Patricia kind of catch up. Patricia is filtered to the gods. Let's just be honest with what we're given. Like, I love her, but we saw her during the COVID and the everyone's on Zoom thing. And so the filter on her face, I mean, she is a beautiful woman, but it's a little distracting. So then they really don't say much. They just talk, I guess, about, I don't even know what they talk about. Do they talk about Catherine's party? You guys let me know, because I don't remember. Then we go to a really fucking weird scene where Catherine is getting Caleb a bunch of shit for the party that he doesn't want. It's just her in this gentleman's shop, this tailor shop, getting shit that I just know Caleb doesn't fucking want it. And it's really weird. It's just weird. Again, everything about their relationship makes me super uncomfortable. So whatever, we'll move on to Sewing Down South. Now, I gotta say, I went to Sewing Down South. I said this earlier. I went to Sewing Down South when I was in Charleston, and I got a candle, and the candle is since burned out, but I saved the box. But it's a cute little store, and I like Craig's Pillows. I like his whole little, it's very, like, you know, crabs and Southern, like, it's a cute thing. The store is really cute. The people were really nice. I met the guy that was the manager at the time. He was really cute and really nice. So a great time. Anyway, Pringle comes in. Pringle's fucked up, y'all. Like, he's drunk. He looks a mess. He looks a fucking mess. And he, like, slurs a couple of times, which I think is just funny. But I forgot. I don't know why he's still on the show. I guess he may genuinely still be a significant part of these guys' lives. But it was off-putting, because I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? You're fucking drunk. Going into the pillow shop, trying to have a coherent conversation with Craig. So anyway, they go to the back where the sausage is made, which is what Pringle says, which is like, sir. So they go in the back of the shop, and Craig is like, yeah, well, basically, I stopped hanging out with Shep because, like, what does he bring to the table? And, like, he's jealous. He's jealous of all of this. And Taylor had to make him come. He didn't even want to come to the store opening. Taylor had to make him come to the store opening. Then Pringle says something about how Shep said that Craig is the top of the shit mountain or something like that. I don't know. Just drama. Drama. These men and their drama. I tell you what. So we kind of just get confirmation that perhaps Shep is very jealous of Craig. Okay. So then we go to Shep and Taylor at Shep's house on IOP Isle of Palms. We get another shot of the outside of it. And they're getting ready. And Shep is just kind of talking about how he's a changed man. And Taylor's really changed him. But he's not really looking to get married and have kids. And he and Taylor are totally on the same page. And then we flash to Taylor, who's like, yeah, no, I've had a wedding plan since I was a kid on a Pinterest board. Like, I'm ready. So maybe some discourse there, okay? There's also rumors that they have just recently broken up. But those rumors were happening when I was in Charleston last year, that they had just recently broken up. So maybe that's just buzz that's being planted to keep us guessing or something. Because honestly, I think that they're probably just still together, but I don't know. Who knows? So they're just talking about their relationship. They're getting ready for the party, and nothing really happens. We just kind of get to see their dynamic, which is fine. Then we go to another getting ready shot of Catherine, who's getting ready in her kitchen. And oh, wow, I keep, maybe I'm talking about it too much. Caleb comes in. She shows him the stuff that he didn't want that she bought at the shop. And he acts like someone who doesn't want the shit that she bought. And then she has an attitude and talks to him crazy. And I hate it. Then we do get a little bit, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but still on the same vein of Catherine getting ready. That's when she talks about her issues with Naomi and how she decided to just like throw an olive branch out there, invite Naomi, see what happens. Because Naomi, Chelsea, and Cameron, who are essentially, we'll just call them OGs of the show, even though Naomi and Chelsea technically aren't, but they all left the show at the same time. And they said at the time it was because of Catherine spreading lies about Cameron's husband. So I guess Naomi and Catherine continued to have issues like that over the internet. Things fizzled out. Now Naomi's back on the show is the thing that they are not saying. But Naomi's back on the show. So Catherine's like, I'll go ahead and invite you to this, you know, the first cast event. You know, Naomi was going to show up either way. But I think that Catherine was like, I'll take control of this. So that's what we get there. Now we get to Olivia. Again, I'm digging Olivia. Like, I'm not sure how she's going to play out. I definitely am more interested in Olivia than I was in Eliza Limehouse, when she first debuted. Oh, this is really great. So I host trivia on Wednesday nights, and during one of my shifts, I don't even remember. This was 3 or 4 months ago, but I made a comment. I said something. Oh, name this reality star. And it was like a really, it was like Snooki or something. Very, very, very obvious to anyone who has cursory knowledge of reality television. But then one team answered Eliza Limehouse. And so I shouted them out on the mic. I was like, so the answer was Snooki, but shout out to the Eliza Limehouse team. I'm thinking it's going to be like a group of like, you know, waspy beer drinking women. It's a free guys at the bar. And they go, that's my ex. That's my ex. So one of the guys actually used to date Eliza Limehouse. And it's these three, again, well, yeah, still white waspy men, frat guys at the bar. And I was dying. I thought that was so funny. That's just not what I was expecting. So that's my Eliza Limehouse tangent for today and probably forever. Back to Olivia. So we get introduced to Olivia. Like I said, she moved back for the pandemic and we get introduced to her parents, who I just think are a hoot. And if there's going to be like some quirky, like Olivia's trying to live her life, but she still lives with her parents type of thing, I'm into it, honestly, because her parents are funny and their accents are to die for. So I'm into it. Now, what I'm not into when it comes to Olivia, honestly, what is she wearing? Like, this is a Great Gatsby party. She also keeps calling it prom. She like refers to Austin as her prom date. And I'm almost like, were they like fucking with this girl? Did they tell her that it's like adult prom? And so come, because that, I mean, I'm not a fashion person, but that was not Gatsby vibes. That was like high school prom vibes. And then she calls Austin her prom date. So I don't know. I wasn't super sure. She wasn't super on theme. Still a beautiful woman. So then we get Austin, who I think it's really obvious that Austin is being, I mean, held at gunpoint to be here. I don't think that he wants to have this little storyline. I don't know why. I don't have a theory as to why, but he seems so like pissed off that he's having to deal with this girl's parents. And maybe that's it. Like, maybe he just considers himself too grown for that, even though he acts like a child. But he seems seriously irritated that Olivia's mom is like, what's up with the skull and crossbones on your shoes? And I also was like, what is up with the skull and crossbone? And then I thought about looking it up, but then I was like, I don't care. I think it's tacky. And like, unless he's literally wearing like off-white, it's not cool. I don't know. It gives me Ed Hardy and it doesn't give me Gatsby unless there's a Gatsby reference there. This is what I need Shep for. Shep be knowing shit. Unless there's a Gatsby reference there, I don't think the skull and crossbones thing is appropriate. I think it's lame. And weird. I mean, not that I have any problem. It's not the death part. It's just, it's unnecessary. Shh, Austin. It's unnecessary. Anyway. So they leave. Thank you, Jesus. We flash to Catherine. I already talked about that. Then we go to Leva, Naomi, and Vanita getting ready. They're all cute in their little robes and drinking champagne. And they're just talking about the whole drama with Craig and Paige. And that's really it. And then their side of the drama with Catherine, which I think I've already explained. And so essentially the funniest part is when Naomi's like, all right, well, whenever we get there to Leva, she's like, don't be like a mom and like gasp just because I talk to him, because I'm going to be cordial, but don't overhype it. I love that. I have friends who do shit like that. I have had to tell friends not to do that. But I had feelings for the guy still, which is the only reason that I would have given a shit to even say that. That's all I'll say. So I think that Naomi does still have feelings for Craig. Now, do I think that she texted him and said everything you ever said about the situation was right? I don't think that. I do not think that she did that. But we'll get there. Then we move to the party. And they're arriving, and Catherine is very clearly already under the influence of something. Sorry, not sorry. Homegirl is definitely drinking, so I'll give her that. Maybe she's already drunk. Maybe she's already drunk. She gets there and she's like, wow, I love all of this. This is really cool. And it's like, it's fine. Yeah, it's cute. It's fucking a great Gatsby party for the millionth time on television, so there's not a whole lot you can really do. So there's a lot going on at this party that I found interesting. We have Austin talking about how he thinks people are talking about his ass. We have the Paige coming to her first Southern Charm event. We have Catherine and Shep, stirring shit up and talking about the possible Naomi Craig Paige love triangle. We have Leva and Vanita still kind of stirring up shit. Apparently, Caleb and Vanita have a conversation about Catherine's being a better person. But the best part of the party before the boys go out on the balcony. So Madison shows up to the party. Now, we haven't talked a lot about Madison yet. She's a friend of this season. She's Austin's ex, for those of you who don't know. She was pretty mean to Austin. Austin pretty much deserved it, so we're good on that. And they have had a tumultuous relationship, to say the least. I think if you don't know the backstory of Madison LaCroix, I actually have an episode on it. One of my first episodes from like February of 2021 is on it. So go check that out, because that'll give you all the context you need. Madison's now engaged to be married at this point in filming, but for sure now she's engaged in present day. She was dating the guy, though, that she is now engaged to for sure. So she shows up. Austin is bothered, bitch. He loses his fucking mind. I was like getting like residual adrenaline from Madison witnessing Austin get like this, because he's not, you know, Sierra didn't bother him like that. Olivia doesn't bother him like that. You know, you've seen him around like sticky girl situations. This is the best one. Madison didn't have to do jack shit. She didn't have to say anything. All she said was, it's good to see you too. And he is literally bouncing. He's bouncing up and down. He's like asking Olivia, am I sweating? he's like licking his lips. He keeps saying that he's cool. I'm cool. I'm cool. He's muttering to himself. He's making Olivia really uncomfortable. And he says, don't worry, to Olivia. And she goes, I'm not. Austin, who I don't think realized he said, don't worry, because he's actually spiraling out of fucking control on like some meth shit right now, just from pure adrenaline, or maybe, I don't know, but just from pure adrenaline, like meth behavior. He's like, what? And Olivia goes, you told me not to worry. I'm not worried. And he's like, oh yeah, well, right. You don't have to worry. And then we see him say, it's kind of like cutting between him reacting and like the actual conversation he has with Madison, which is like 0.2 seconds. And he goes, I said, I bet $1 million that Madison LaCroix would show up tonight. I bet it. I bet $1 million. And Madison goes, you got $1 million to bet? And he goes, no, I do not. I was eating pizza. I spit my pizza out, bro. I was like, dude, he is pressed beyond belief. I've seen a guy act this way in front of his ex when he's like caught off guard or nervous, or maybe he has a new girl with him or something like that. Like, I've seen it. But like I've been involved or I've experienced it. So kind of watching from this point of view and just seeing how like spun. I mean, he is full Brittany Murphy. Austin is full Brittany Murphy. When Madison LaCroix shows up to this fucking party, he is spun, child. Lord God, spitting all over the damn place. He keeps saying sorry. Like I said, he was muttering to himself, bouncing around. I mean, it was a sight to behold. I was thrilled. I was thrilled. It was my favorite part of the entire episode. So we just get a little piece of that, and then everyone's kind of commenting on how fucking uncomfortable it is because, yeah. And then Olivia says, well, it's clear there's still feeling, and this isn't a confessional, it's clear there's still feelings there, so that's why I feel like that's maybe not a real thing. I think we see them making out in a coming up this season on Southern Charm, but I don't think that's a real thing, the thing with the two of them. So then we get the Three Stooges out on the balcony to tell their fucking truth. They go out there, and man, oh man, these guys hate each other, guys. Like, they don't like each other. None of them. Maybe now in present day, Craig and Austin are okay. But like, to this day, if you guys didn't watch the Watch What Happens Live after this episode, or if you guys didn't hear the mention at all with Dylan Hafer interview that he did with Craig and Shep last week, like, they hate each other. And so this is like sufficiently awkward. They're all fucked up. Craig, maybe not so much on anything other than alcohol, but definitely alcohol, because his face like gets red in a very specific part of his cheeks, and it also like goes real dark because he tans, but it also gets real red at this really like right at the top of his cheekbones near his eyes, and all of their hair is I'm fucked up mode, especially Shep, who's in touching his face and wringing his hands mode, which we know what that means, right? So they're all talking. Again, best part is Shep kind of says like, well, a lot of going on in there. And Craig goes, yeah, well, there's a few people I wasn't expecting to see. I really wasn't expecting to see Naomi because, you know, Catherine hates her. But I really wasn't expecting to see Madison. And before he can even say the word Madison, Austin goes, yes, thank you. And I'm like, dude. Like, and what's funny about it is that Shep says something talking about Naomi, because what Shep's trying to do here, Shep's trying to get Craig to admit that he fucked Naomi, right? And Shep doesn't give a flying fuck about the Austin Madison shit. So he comments on the Naomi thing. Austin still very much bothered by Madison being there. He's thinking that's where the conversation's going to go. Craig diverts it away from Naomi back to Austin, and then Shep catches the home run and goes back to Naomi. So this is where, sorry if that was confusing, but watch it again, you'll see what I mean. So this is where Shep essentially gets Craig to admit that he and Naomi slept together in Vegas. They don't really the timelines, man, they're not really fleshing out the timelines like they need to. Because for those of us, and I mean, the editors can do this. They do this shit all the time. Give us a Winter House graphic, a Summer House graphic, a Southern Charm graphic, and do a little line chart and outline this shit for us. Because I know that they overlapped. Now, oh, something I totally skipped over. When Pringle and Craig were in the back of the shop, Craig admits to Pringle that he slept with Natalie, his ex-girlfriend, a couple of times while he and Paige were still kind of like quasi-dating, and that Paige knew about it. And Craig's mad at Austin because Austin tried to tell Paige, not knowing that Paige already knew. I don't know, that's really boring to me. But he's kind of framing it like it's the same situation with Naomi. I don't think that it's the same situation with Naomi. I don't think that he told Paige about Naomi. Paige has not said that she knows about Naomi in the time that this is being filmed. So I don't know if she knew about all of this. We'll see. So that's essentially what happens there. We find all of that out. And then we go back. Oh, Shep also goes on a rampage about how the reason that he and Craig don't talk anymore isn't have anything to do with him, and he's not jealous, and why would a man ever go into a pillow store? Like, the toxic masculinity is above and beyond. So we go back to Catherine and Caleb, who the names are going to kill me, and they're out on the patio. They go out to the patio as well to talk. And Caleb and her have this weird conversation about Vanita. Like, it seems to me like Catherine's annoyed that Caleb's getting involved or bringing it up on camera. That's what I'm assuming, because Catherine's 0 to 100 here, alcohol or not, like, doesn't make sense. And it seems like there's a pieces of information that the audience isn't getting, because all Caleb said was, I talked to Vanita about, like, you know, you guys kind of squashing your beef and moving forward. And that pisses Catherine off. And it seems like she's pissed off that he's involved. But then she's like, since when are you the peacemaker? Which almost makes me feel like, is he usually like the pot stirrer? And you like him to do that? You don't want y'all to have peace? You don't want to be friends with Vanita? Like, what's happening? I don't know, very confusing, but it sets Catherine off. She's like, I'm going to my house, which is also, like, again, the way she talks to him, really crazy. She goes back inside. She's about to walk out. She says something to Leva about how they have the same bag, which gives her Catherine, an in to start going at Naomi, again, out of nowhere, saying that she didn't feel, I guess, like her welcome was good enough. And when she... that Naomi's greeting to Catherine when she got to the party wasn't good enough for Catherine. And then I don't even know how to describe it, yo. Like, she just starts, like, calling Naomi all kinds of fake and petty ass bitch, and has her fingers all up in the air and pointing and boop, 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 boop. It's really strange. And Naomi's like, I don't like the way that you fight. And Catherine says, how do I fight? And Naomi's like, you fight dirty. How do I fight dirty? And then essentially Naomi gets up and leaves, which was probably a good call, because it was really fucking bizarre. And I mean, we did get earlier a flashback to, like, Catherine's greatest moments. A lot of people always talk about her running down the street screaming Thomas. My personal favorite is when she almost kickboxes Whitney for taking Thomas to a strip club when she was 9 months pregnant. Because first of all, Whitney and Thomas deserve to have the shit kicked out of them for that stupid shit, because on no planet does a partner need to be going out doing anything. It's not about the strip club. He shouldn't be going to a bar. He shouldn't be going to a goddamn restaurant. He shouldn't be going to Applebee's. He should be at home for that last month of pregnancy at least. Nobody's out doing whatever the fuck they feel like doing just because, right? That's my rant of the fucking day. So they show that part, and that's my favorite Catherine rant. But she's very much in that mode. She's like elevated, escalated for no reason. So then she's trying to leave. Leva tries to get her to stay. Craig tries to get her to stay. Everyone's producing at this point. They're like, keep escalated Catherine on deck. Get as much content out of her as you can. But she's like, no. She's like, fuck off, Caleb. And she gets in the elevator, and that's basically it. Man, I can't even go back and try to edit that. I know the ums and the mixing of names was on high, but Jesus, I mean, it was a packed episode. It was a packed episode. It was a great premiere. It was a great premiere. I am so excited, you guys, about Southern Charm. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but, you know, Beverly Hills is, like, finally starting to get there. Like I said, I really enjoyed this last episode. Ultimate Girls Trip, I'm really enjoying, but I really do wish that for Ultimate Girls Trip, they would just drop the whole thing instead of some and then week to week. I don't know that week to week is great for Girls Trip, but it's fine. It's not the end of the world for sure, and I am enjoying it. Atlanta, I just want to say really quickly, I think I'm just going to have to binge Atlanta. I think because I've been doing Atlanta in batches, and I'm really engaged when it's, you know, episodes back to back, but when it's week to week, I have a hard time staying engaged with Atlanta, and I do care about these women, but if it weren't for Marlo, I don't think they would have a whole lot going on in this show. That's just my opinion. I think Marlo is bringing all of the drama, and obviously, like, Sheree has something going on, but, like, Marlo's really keeping this ball rolling, okay? So I think I just need to binge the rest of the season. So when the season's over, maybe I'll watch the rest of it and maybe I'll have some comments unless something super crazy happens in the next few episodes. Right now, it's not getting me. I'm entertained, but I'm not like super engaged. I can't stay engaged with Dubai. I know I'm not just jumping on a popular bandwagon. I'm being serious. I watched the premiere. I had to watch it three times to get what was going on. I'm just not invested in Dubai. And that's okay because I am invested deeply in Girls Trip. I am invested deeply in Beverly Hills and now in Southern Charm. I think I'm good. And I know that when Married to Medicine premieres, a lot of people are going to be really into that. So I'm a little worried about Dubai. Like, what's going to happen, girl? But we'll see. I also want to say I really like how for Atlanta and Dubai, they drop the episodes full with no ads on Peacock the next day. Because it's a little tedious to sit there and fast forward through commercials when it's not that deep, you know? So yeah, I think that that's about it for me. You guys, thank you so much for listening and catching up with me. Like I said, I am going to try my damnedest to just do these three recaps and be on top of it. We will see. If you guys don't already, you can follow me on Instagram at WhoTFKnowsEmilyRose. That's at WhoTFKnowsEmilyRose. That's my podcast page. My personal is at EmilyAgogo. That's at Emily AGOGO for my personal Instagram. If you want to support the show for right now, my Cash App is in the show notes. I have a Patreon. I haven't started it yet. Can't wait to get that rolling. And the best way to support me, download the episodes, share with your friends. Word of mouth is always the best way to get it out. And follow so that you know when I have new episodes coming out and I don't have to beg you to listen. I'm just kidding. I don't have to beg, but I wish I was a graphic artist because then I would have cute graphics for every episode that I could post on Instagram. But that's just not my vibe. All right, guys. Well, I love you and I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. Wind up your waist now, wind up your waist. Yeah. You know I love it when you wind up your waist.